This week's CD is on Parshas Vayeshanan, and we will start in the beginning of the Parsha, which is on chapter 3, verse number 23. The verse says, Vayeshanan el Hashem bo'esahi leimor, that I prayed to Hashem at that time, saying, and the verse continues and says, Hashem Elohim, Ato achiloisa, you have started la'aros as avdecha, to show to your servant, as godlecha, your greatness, bezyotcha chazaka, and your strong arm, Asher Mikael Bashamaim, that there is no God in heaven, uva'aretz and on land, Asher Yasa, that will do chemasecha, like your actions, uchugvurasecha, and like your mighty acts. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asks on verse 25, let me please cross over and see the beautiful land that is in the other side of the Jordan, meaning the land of Israel proper, the beautiful mountain and the Lebanon, which Rashi says, that's the Beis HaMikdash, or the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning simply that Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to Hashem that he wants to go into Eretz Israel, but I'm going to stress that Moshe Rabbeinu says that I want to see the beautiful land, the good mountain, and the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the Levanoin, and we have to understand why specifically he wanted to see the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Also, before Moshe Rabbeinu does his asking, meaning before he prays to Hashem and he asks what he wants, he first starts by saying that Hashem Elohim, you have started showing your servant your greatness and your strong arm, that there is no God in heaven that will do like your actions and like your great mights. And normally we explain that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu makes this introduction is in order first to ask somebody something, you have to praise him for what he's capable of, and once you show what he's capable of, then we could go ask what we want of that person. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu started saying this verse. That is a simple interpretation. But also, we are going to first ask, on the first verse of the Parsha, where it says, V'schanan el Hashem, I pray to Hashem, bo'esai leimor, and that time saying, and then it continues, Hashem Elohim, why is it written on the first verse, V'schanan el Hashem, I prayed to Hashem? He should have just said, V'eschanon bo'esai leimor, I prayed at that time saying, Hashem Elohim, Hashem my God, Ato achiloisa, you started showing your servant your greatness and your strong arm. Automatically, I would understand that Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to Hashem. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say, V'eschanon el Hashem, that I prayed to Hashem at that time? Another question that we are going to ask is Rashi's question. What does it mean that I prayed to Hashem bo'esahi at that moment? Rashi explains that that moment means that after we conquered the land of Sichon Ve'og and after we divided the land of Sichon Ve'og to the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half Manasseh, then Moshe Rabbeinu may have thought that Hashem's promise that Moshe Rabbeinu won't go into Eretz Israel has been annulled, because we have a rule that neder shehutar miktsoso utar kulo, a promise that part of it was annulled, then we assume that the whole promise was annulled. And here Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since technically he is in part of Eretz Israel, because the land of Reuven and Gad and half Manasseh have certain Kedusha, that means that he could go in to the whole land of Eretz Israel. Therefore, specifically at this juncture, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to pray. But we are going to give a different interpretation of what Bo'esahi at that moment means. Also, technically, what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem does not make sense, because there is no continuation. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying in the beginning that Hashem, Ato achiloiso, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong arm. So the request should be that, therefore, let me see when you finish showing your greatness and your strong arm. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't make this request. He starts saying that Hashem, you have started showing me your greatness and your strong arm, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, let me pass into the land, let me see the place of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Theoretically, the request has nothing to do with the beginning of the praise. True that I mentioned that from here we learn that when a person is making a request, that it first is required to praise Hashem and only afterwards make his request. But the praising that Moshe Rabbeinu does, he only says, Ato achiloiso, you have begun. It's not a complete praising, It doesn't say that you are a strong God, that you are a great God. It just says that you have begun showing me that you are a strong God. So therefore, theoretically, that seems to be already part of the request. Then what connection is it that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael with that Hashem is going to show more His greatness and His strong arm? Another question that we are going to ask is that on verse number 26, after Moshe Rabbeinu makes the request that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, the verse says, "Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem," Hashem became angry at me because of you, "Velo yishom elai," and did not listen to me, "Vayomer Hashem elai," Hashem tells me, "Rav loch," it is too much to you, "Al toisev daber elai oid badover hazeh," do not speak to me more on this subject, on this topic. And here we have to ask a question that theoretically what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is not true, because Moshe Rabbeinu seems to blame the Jewish people for Hashem not letting him go into Eretz Yisrael, and yet we know that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael is because Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and did not speak to the rock. Then why is Moshe Rabbeinu blaming the Jewish people for him not going into Eretz Yisrael? And furthermore, what is written on verse number 29, "Paneshev Bagoy Mul Beis Peor," that we were in Goy next to Baal Peor, why is that important at this juncture? Who cares where you were? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu bringing up the fact that we were in Goy next to Baal Peor? In truth, these last two questions is already addressed in the Marsha, inserted Daf Yud Dalet Omet Aleph 14a, where there the Gemara brings down, "V'omar Rab Chama Barab Chanina," Rab Chama Barab Chanina says, "Mipnei ma nikvar Moshe Rabbeinu mul Beis Peor," why is Moshe Rabbeinu buried next to the idolatry of Peor? The Gemara answers, "Kedei lechaper al ma'aseh Peor," to atone for the action of Peor, meaning simply to atone for the actions that the Jewish people did when they did the idolatry of Peor. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be buried next to Peor. But Tosfos writes down a Medrash Agada that every year on the anniversary of the date where the Jewish people had relations with the daughters of Moab and they worshipped the Baal Peor, the idol of Baal Peor tries to come up and criticize the Jewish people, but as soon as he sees the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, then he goes back to his place. Because Moshe Rabbeinu took the idol of Peor and sunk it to the ground, so too, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, throughout generations, every year on anniversary, will put that idol into the ground. The Marsha says that according to this, we understand now the verse in this week's Parsha, that it says, "Hashem became angry at me, lemanchem," normally translated as "because of you," but the Marsha says that according to this Tosfos, we could say that "lemanchem" doesn't mean "because of you," it means "for your benefit." Meaning that Hashem became angry at me and didn't let me go into Eretz Yisrael, lemanchem, for your benefit. Meaning that I should be buried next to Baal Peor, like that I will still be a protector for you, and therefore my burial outside of Eretz Yisrael is going to be for your benefit. And the Marsha says, and that is the reason also why it concludes this section by saying, "Vaneshev Bagoy Mul Beis Peor," that we were in the Goy next to idolatry of Peor, and we asked why is this here. According to the Marsha, that is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not go into Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Hashem wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu, even when he's dead, to be a protector for the Jewish people. Therefore Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that I need you to be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael in order to protect the Jewish people every year against the criticism of Baal Peor. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that Hashem made me not go into Eretz Yisrael for the benefit of the Jewish people. And therefore, it's written also that they stayed in the Goy next to Baal Peor, because the purpose is that Moshe Rabbeinu should shield the Jewish people from the criticism of Baal Peor. That is what the Marsha answers in Gemara in Soite Daf Yud Dalet Omed Aleph 14a. But we are going to try to give a different reason why this is written here. Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer all this question by bringing first the Medrash, which is brought down in the Parashas Drachim, Drosh Ches, and also it's brought down by the Chasam Sofer Parshas Baalo Yischo, where the Medrash simply says that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then the Beis Hamikdash would have been destroyed, and no nation would be able to rule over the Jewish people. That is what the Medrash says. And the Parashas Drachim explains what is the meaning of the Medrash and where does the Medrash get this idea. The Parashas Drachim explains that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have come into Eretz Yisrael, obviously he would have built the Beis Hamikdash. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis Hamikdash could never be destroyed. Because the Gemara in Soita Daf Tes Amud Aleph 9a brings down the Dorash Rav China Bar Papa, the Rav China Bar Papa expounded, Mai Dichsiv, what is the meaning of the verse that's written in Tehillim chapter 33, verse number 1, Ranu Tzadikim Bashem, sing joyfully, O righteous, because of Hashem, La Yeshorim, Nova Sehilo, for the upright, praise is fitting. So the Gemara says, what does it mean that praise is fitting? So Al Tikre Nova Sehilo, do not read it that praise is fitting, Elo Nevei Sehilo, rather the palace of praise is fitting, meaning that it's fitting that they should be praised for the structures that they erected. Ze Moshe veDavid, that is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, that no enemies ever took possession, took control of their handiwork. Meaning that David HaMelech built the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's written in Echot chapter 2, verse number 9, Tavu bo'aretz shoreo, it got sunk into the earth, its gates, which means that nobody was able to take those gates into captivity. That the gates that David HaMelech built never went into captivity. Rather, it got sunk in its place. And in regards to what Moshe Rabbeinu built, the Gemara says, the Omer Mar we learned in Abraisa, that when the first Beis HaMikdash was built, then Nignas Oel Moed, the tent of meeting, was hidden. Kroshov, Kroshov, Brichov, Amodov, Vadonov. The beams, the hooks, the bars, the pillars, and its sockets, which means that nobody ever took the Mishkan into captivity. That since Moshe Rabbeinu built it, then obviously that could not be destroyed and could not go into captivity. So we see that everything that David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu built, no enemy ruled over it. So comes out that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built a Beis HaMikdash, then that Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. And yet it's written in the Medrash Rabbah in Echo, Parsha Dalet, Simen Yudalet, where the Medrash asks a question of what is written in Tehillim, chapter 79, verse number 1, where there it says, Mizmer LaOsof, a song to Osof, Elohim Hashem, Boi Goyim LaNachlo Secho, that nations came into your inheritance, and continues that they defiled your temple, and so forth. And the Medrash asks, how can we say, Mizmer LaOsof, a song to Osof, that nations came into your inheritance, to your heritage and defile the temple, we should say Bechila Asof, a cry to Asof, or Nehila Asof, or a sigh to Yosof, Kinela Asof, lamentation to Asof. Why are we saying Mizmer LaAsof, a song to Asof? The Medrash answers for an example of a king who made a wedding canopy to his son, meaning that he built a house of wedding to his son. And not only he built the house, but he plastered it and he put ornaments in it and decorated it because he wanted this to be a pride to his son. But after the son went out and started behaving badly, the king was distressed at the behavior of the son. So he went into that house and he tore up the curtains and he broke the curtain rods. So the friend of the son, the tutor of the son, when he saw the king doing it, he took out a flute and started playing the flute, singing. So people saw the friend of the son doing that, and they asked him, how can you sing when the king did this to the house of the son, to the wedding canopy of the son? Then the friend of the son answered, you know why I'm singing? I'm singing that the king decided to direct his anger over the house of the son and not direct the anger over the son himself. Meaning that he broke the canopy, but he did not do anything against the son. The Medrash continues and says, that this is exactly what happened by Mizmoil Asaf by the song to Asaf, meaning that people came to Asaf and asked, how can you sing at this time where nations of the world came into your heritage and they destroyed the temple? So Asaf answered, you know why I am singing? I'm singing that Hashem directed his wrath over wood and stones and did not direct his wrath on the people. Meaning that the people behaved badly towards Hashem, and Hashem was angry at the people, but instead of harming the people, Hashem decided to harm the house and destroy the house. Therefore, it's Mizmor L'Asaf, it's really a song to Asaf, that the temple was destroyed and not the people were destroyed. Comes out, according to this, says the Parashas Drachim, that if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed, when Hashem directs his wrath, he can't direct his wrath over the stones and wood, over the Beis HaMikdash, over the building. He has to direct his wrath on the people. Therefore, Hashem made sure that Moshe Rabbeinu does not go into Eretz Yisrael. Like that, somebody else is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And if somebody else builds the Beis HaMikdash, then when Hashem gets angry, he could direct his wrath over the building, and it doesn't direct his wrath over the people. And the Parashas Drachim explains that when it says here in our verse, "Vaysaber Hashem bi lemanchem," that Hashem became angry at me, lemanchem, because of you, it is not really as we translating it, because of you, it is as the Mersha is translating, letevaschem, for your benefit, meaning lemanchem is for your benefit, meaning that Hashem told me to be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael is for your benefit, because if I go into Eretz Yisrael, I build the Beis HaMikdash and you do something wrong, then Hashem has to destroy you. Because of that, Hashem told me that I should be outside of Eretz Yisrael for your benefit, in order that he should be able to direct his wrath over the building and not direct his wrath over the people. The Parashas Drachim there asks a very strong question on this idea that he just mentioned, that if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. He asks, why can the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed? The Gemara there says that two people that the enemies did not rule over the handiwork, and that is David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, even though David HaMelech built the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, when it came time to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the gates were not destroyed. The gates were sunk into the ground. The Parashas Drachim asks, why can't Moshe Rabbeinu build a Beis HaMikdash? And when it comes time, Chas V'Sholom, that the Jewish people misbehave, then the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have to be destroyed and taken by our enemies. The Beis HaMikdash could sink to the ground, and the Beis HaMikdash won't be anymore. The house of Hashem will be gone. Then why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to die outside of Eretz Yisrael? He could come into Eretz Yisrael. He could actually build a Beis HaMikdash. And even if he built a Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash could be sunk in the same way that David HaMelech built the gates and the gates were sunk. Why is it that if Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed? The Parashas Drachim answers this based on the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Lamed Beis, Med Beis 32b. There the Gemara brings a verse that is written in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 17. The verse says, "Vayasu kol hakol ha'shavim na'shevi sukois," that all the congregation that came back from captivity did sukois, meaning simply that when they returned from the Babylonian exile, all the people did a sukois. "Vayeshu ba'sukois," they dwelled in sukois, "ki lo yosu mimei Yeshua binun Cain b'nei Yisrael," because the Jewish people did not do Sukkos this way since the days of Yeshua binun, "ad ha'yom ahu," until that day, "v'tehi simcha gadola me'od," and it was a great rejoicing. The Gemara asks, how is it possible that David HaMelech came and didn't do Sukkos? Meaning that the verse seems to imply that they didn't do Sukkos like that since the days of Yeshua binun. How is it possible that David HaMelech came and didn't do Sukkos, that only when Ezra came, they decided to do Sukkos? The Gemara in one answer gives that they annulled the evil inclination of idolatry and it protected them as a sukkah. Meaning that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Samach Dalet Omed Aleph 64a explains that when the Jewish people came back from exile, they realized that the evil inclination of idolatry is still so strong, and then they were upset that this is the evil inclination that destroyed the house and burned the sanctuary and caused all the righteous people to be killed and caused the Jewish people to be exiled from the land, and it still dances amongst us, meaning that they felt the evil inclination of idolatry was still very strong. So they asked Hashem, you only give the evil inclination in order for us, when we overcome that evil inclination, we should get rewards. We don't want the evil inclination of idolatry, and we also don't want the reward for overcoming that evil inclination. They prayed, they fasted 3 days, and then came down a note from heaven, which says, Emes truth. So Rabbi Hanina says, since Emes is the seal of Hashem, that means that it's a proper time that Hashem is going to listen to our prayer. So they said that the likeness of a fiery lion cub came out of the Holy of Holies, and the prophet told the people that this is the evil inclination of idolatry. So after they grabbed it, they put it inside a lead box which absorbs the sound of that evil inclination of idolatry. Nonetheless, we see that the Anshe Knesset HaGadoyla, after they came back from the exile, they were able to annul the evil inclination of idolatry, and that cancellation afforded them protection from the evil inclination Kasuka, like a sukkah which is closed in all four sides and protects you. So too they were able to protect the Jewish people from the evil inclination of idolatry. According to this interpretation, the verse there that says that Vayeshu Basukkos and they sat in Sukkos, it does not mean actually huts as we mean. It means in protected spaces. Kiloi also mimei Yeshua benun came to Israel, because they did not dwell in protected places from evil inclination from the days of Yeshua benun until that day. The Gemara continues, and this is the reason why it's listing Yeshua benun with technically a typo, meaning that normally the word Yehoshua benun is written with a hey, yud hey vav shin ayin, and that is how you spell Yehoshua. But hey, in this verse, it's written Yeshua without the hey, only yud shin vav ayin. And the reason why it's written so is because Gemara says, I understand why Moshe Rabbeinu would not pray to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry, because Moshe Rabbeinu never had the merit of going into Eretz Yisrael. And you require to have the merit of Eretz Yisrael in order to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry. But Yeshua, since he came into Eretz Yisrael, why didn't he pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed? The fact that he didn't pray comes out that Yeshua is guilty for the Jewish people doing idolatry. Therefore, it's missing of the name of Yeshua Binun. It's written Yeshua without the hay, because he should have prayed that the evil inclination of idolatry should be removed, and since he didn't pray, therefore it's missing the name. That's why it's associating that he didn't dwell in Sukkos since the days of Yeshua Binun, because we are blaming Yeshua Binun for the fact that he didn't cancel the evil inclination of idolatry, and only now they cancelled, so it should have been done in the days of Yeshua, but it was done only in the days of Ezra. So therefore it says that they dwelled in Sukkos, they dwelled in protective spaces, because they didn't do that since the days of Yeshua Binun. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains clearly that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because the evil inclination of idolatry. Because when they saw that evil inclination, they cried that this is the inclination that caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, the sanctuary burned, and killed all the righteous people. So we see clearly that the evil inclination of idolatry is responsible for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. According to this, says the Parashas Drachim comes out that if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu clearly would pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. And if Moshe Rabbeinu prays that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed, obviously that is removed. Then clearly, if Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Beis HaMikdash, then there is no destruction of the Beis HaMikdash because the evil inclination of idolatry is going to be removed. The Parasha Zrachim says that this idea is exactly what the Medrash that we mentioned previously says, that if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, then he builds the Beis HaMikdash, but because Moshe Rabbeinu prays that the evil inclination of idolatry should be destroyed, then it will be destroyed. Automatically, if there is no evil inclination of idolatry, then Loyayo Nechrav Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed, and then if the Beis HaMikdash is not destroyed, then no nation could rule over the Jewish people. According to this idea of the Parashas Drachim, Sefer Shemeroish says that this is exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael not in order to enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, not in order to enjoy other things. All he wants is because covet Hashem, because of the honor of Hashem. Therefore, he says, V'eschanan, I prayed El Hashem, only because of Hashem. I didn't pray for my own reward, for my own goodness. I prayed that I should go into Eretz Yisrael. And if I go into Eretz Yisrael, then I pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. Therefore, V'eschanan El Hashem, my prayer was directly, totally to Hashem. Because my coming into Eretz Yisrael is going to have an effect how people will see Hashem. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu explains that Ato Achiloisa, you started showing your servant that there is no God like you. And in order for that to continue, I'm asking you, please, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Like that, I'll be able to pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. And if I remove the evil inclination of idolatry, then we could say what goes on in the volcanic cover, that we're leading Korah's decoration, that the idolatries will be cut out, that the world will be totally for Hashem, and everybody will call in the name of Hashem. So my praying is only El Hashem, is only for the glory of Hashem. Then Sefer Shemeroish brings the Medrash Tanchumah in the end of Parshas Tisaitse, where the Medrash Tanchumah brings down the verse, it's written B'Shalach, chapter 17, verse number 16, in regards to the war against Amalek, where there the verse says, Vayoymer, and Hashem said, Ki yad al keis ka, for the hands of Amalek is in the throne of Hashem, Milchom al Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, that Hashem is going to maintain a war against Amalek from the generation of the desert until the generation of Moshiach. But in the verse, the word throne is written case, not kisei. That means that the Aleph is missing of the throne of Hashem. And it's also written case ka, yutke. It's not written case Hashem, yutke, vavke. That means that the vavke is missing from the name of Hashem until after the destruction of Amalek, until after the finish of our exile. Therefore, the Medrash Tanchumah says that when we have the redemption, then the throne of Hashem and the name of Hashem are going to be complete. That means that it's going to be restored, the Aleph of the word Kisei, and also the Vavhei from the name of Hashem of Yud Kei Vavke, because right now it's only Kes Yud Kei. And according to this, the Kli Yakor in Parshas Vayeshev Perek Lamed Ches brings the idea that is written Tehillim Kof Lamed Beis Yud Gimel 132 Pasuk number 13, where there the verse says, Ki vachar Hashem betzion, the Hashem chose in Zion, in Zion, Iva lemoy shavloi, Hashem desired for his habitation. The word Iva consists of the letters Aleph, Vav, Hey, and the Kli Yakor explains that when the time of redemption will come, then the Aleph and Vav, Hey will return to its proper place. That means that missing Aleph from Kisei and the missing Vav, Hey from the Shem of Hashem is going to be complete. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is exactly what it means by this verse in this week's parsha. That this verse, it says, V'schanon el Hashem, that I prayed to Hashem, Bo'eis Ahu, because I wanted that this should be already the time of the Hu. Hu is Hei Vav Aleph. Those are the letters that's missing from the throne of Hashem. that I prayed only in order to restore the throne of Hashem in its completeness. Because I wanted to pray that I should go into Eretz Yisrael. If I go into Eretz Yisrael, then I pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. And once the inclination of idolatry is removed, then automatically the Jewish people will have the Beis Hamikdash standing. Then automatically it will be the time of redemption. And if it's the time of redemption, then the Aleph and the Vav Hey, which is the same letters of Hu, then it will be complete. And that is exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem. Meaning that he didn't pray to Hashem for his own needs. He only prayed to Hashem because he wanted the glory of Hashem. He wanted the throne of Hashem to be complete. And he wanted the name of Hashem to be complete. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem. Sefer Shemer Rosh continues and says that therefore it's written, Vaneshev Bagoy, Mul Beis Peor, that we stood in the Goy next to Baal Peor. It means to say that now that Hashem didn't accept my prayer and he didn't let me go into Eretz Yisrael, now I'm afraid that you guys are going to be involved in idolatry. Therefore, I'm constantly warning you against the prohibition of idolatry. Therefore, I have to tell you that I have to sit in the Goy next to Baal Peor, because like that I have to protect you against the inclination of Baal Peor, against the criticism of Baal Peor, because since you are going to be doing idolatry, then Baal Peor is going to be able to criticize. Therefore, I have to tell you that Hashem made me be buried next to Baal Peor in order to protect you. Then Sefer Shemeroish is bothered by a very strong question. Why, in fact, didn't Hashem want that Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Yisrael? If Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, we would have the complete tikkun, the complete rectification of the whole world, then why didn't Hashem want Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael? Sefer Shemeroish answers this by giving an excuse or a reason why, in fact, Shaul HaMelech, when he was told to destroy Amalek, why didn't he do it? And there are many interpretations on that, but Sefer Shemeroish gives a lofty interpretation why Shaul HaMelech did not destroy Amalek. There, in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Beis, Amud Beis, 22b, there the Gemara says that the verse in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 15, verse number 5, says there, Vayavai Shaul ad ir Amalek, that Shaul HaMelech came until the city of Amalek, Vayarev Banochal, and he fought at the valley. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Mani explains, now when it says Vayarev Banochal, he fought in the valley, it doesn't mean literally in the valley. It means Al Iske Nochal, he was fighting within himself in regards to the law that we have to decapitate a Egle Arufa in the valley. Meaning that the Torah writes down in Dvarim chapter 21, verse number 19, that if you find a body and you don't know who killed it, then you have to make a whole procedure that the elders of the city next to it have to make a declaration, and they also have to bring a calf that there was no yoke on it, and they have to take this calf to the valley and decapitate it in the valley. Then Shaul HaMelech was worried about this halacha, and Rav Mani explains that when Hashem told to Shaul HaMelech, Leich v'kisu as Amalek, go and smite Amalek, Omar Shaul HaMelech said, Uma nefesh achas, in regards to one soul that is killed, Omra Torah says, Hove egle arufa, you have to bring a decapitated calf in order to atone for that soul. Kol nefoshes alalu, all these souls, Allah has kama v'kama, for sure, how many decapitated calves we have to bring. Meaning that if you kill a soul, then you require to bring this calf as atonement. I am going to kill now all these Amalekim. How many calves am I required to bring atonement? And Mefarshim explained that this is the reason why he didn't kill the animals either, because he wanted to bring these animals as atonement for killing the people. That is the simple interpretation of the Gemara. But Mefarshim asked a question, how can we translate the Gemara this way? The Torah writes down that if you find a body and you don't know who killed it, that is in regards only to a Jewish person. If you find a Jewish person, you don't know who killed it, then you're required to follow the procedure and get atonement through the procedure. But in regards to Amalek, clearly there is a verse, Timcha Ezecher Amalek, that we require to destroy all remembrance of Amalek. Well, how is it possible that Shaul HaMelech is worried about the souls of the Amalekim? Clearly, the Torah says that you have to destroy the souls of the Amalekim, you have to destroy them completely. Then why is Shaul HaMelech so worried about the Amalekim? Therefore, Sefer Shemeroy says that this wasn't what Shaul HaMelech was concerned. Shaul HaMelech was concerned only about the Jewish people. And he explains that the concern of Shaul HaMelech was the following. Shaul HaMelech understood that if he destroys Amalek and afterwards they will build the Beis HaMikdash, that is the complete ratification of the world. And then the Zman HaGaula, the redemption is going to come, because we followed the thing in order. As the Gemara writes down in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Omed Beis 20b, that Tanya, we learned the Baraisa, Rabbi Yossi Yoim, Rabbi Yossi says, Shalosh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael mechnisasem lorets, three mitzvahs the Jewish people commanded when they came into the land of Israel, Lahamid lohem melech, that they have to establish a king, Ulahachris zaru shel Amalek, that they have to cut off all the children of Amalek, velivnos lohem beis abchira, and that they have to build a beis hamikdash, and they already established a king because they appointed Shaul a king. Then all it was missing was laachris zaru shel Amalek, to destroy the children of Amalek, and then we'll build the beis hamikdash. And if we do that, automatically, that will be the complete ratification of the world, and then Moshiach will come. And when there is a rectified world, that means that anybody that wasn't able to accomplish what it needs to accomplish can't accomplish anymore what it needs to do, meaning that we could accomplish only up to the time of Moshiach. But once Moshiach comes, then whatever a person did not finish to accomplish, then he cannot accomplish anymore. And that is exactly what Shaul HaMelech was concerned, meaning that Shaul HaMelech made a kal vachomer from the idea of Egla Arufa. The reason why we have to bring atonement when somebody dies and we don't know who killed them is because that person who died was not able to accomplish everything that he need to accomplish, because he was killed before he was able to finish what needs to accomplish. And if for a person like that we are required to bring an atonement, meaning that even though he died, nonetheless, since he didn't fulfill everything that he needs to fulfill, we require to bring an atonement for him, all the souls that are going to be unfinished if Moshiach comes, how much atonement am I required to bring? Meaning, if I am going to bring now the Olam HaTikun, the rectified world, by killing all the Amalekim, then all the people and all the souls that are supposed to accomplish what they need to accomplish and won't have a chance to do it, because the rectified world, the Olam HaTikun, is going to come quickly, then how am I going to be able to rectify them? Since if I kill Amalek, then I will bring on the Olam HaTikun, the rectified world, then those souls that needed to accomplish things won't have a chance to accomplish. And I'll be required to bring atonement for all those souls. And because of that, Shaul HaMelech decided that he's not going to kill all Amalek, because Shaul HaMelech was afraid that those souls won't have a chance to accomplish what they need to in order to rectify themselves. And as a matter of fact, there's a verse in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yudalet, verse Yudalet, that says that Hashem is always careful, levilti yidach mimenu nidach, that nobody should be pushed out. Meaning anybody wants to get close to Hashem should still have a chance to get close to Hashem. But if the Olam HaTikun comes, if the rectified world comes, then those people who want to get close to Hashem will won't have a chance to get close to Hashem. And that is the reason why Shaul HaMelech decided that he is not going to kill Amalek. Meaning, when he made the kal vachomer, kol nefashos halalu, all these souls, he wasn't referring to the souls of the Amalekim. Because what does he care about the Amalekim? Hashem told him to destroy the Amalekim. He was only concerned for all the Jewish souls that weren't be able to rectify themselves yet, and they are still could rectify before the Tikkun comes, before Moshiach comes. And those souls was the concern of Shaul HaMelech, and because of that, he did not kill all the Amalek. Automatically gives more time for those souls to be able to rectify themselves. But since Hashem clearly told Shaul HaMelech that he wants them to kill Amalek and he wants the Geula to come, then Shaul HaMelech is guilty for second-guessing Hashem, for not doing what Hashem wants, and we missed a huge chance to having the complete Tikkun, because that was an appropriate time to have the Olam HaTikkun, the rectified world, and to have a Geula Shleima. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, that is exactly the reason why Hashem did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to come into Eretz Yisrael. Because, as we mentioned previously, if Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, then he builds the Beis HaMikdash. And if he builds the Beis HaMikdash, then automatically it's going to be the time of the ratification. And Hashem knew there are many souls that aren't yet complete. And therefore Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should not come into Eretz Yisrael. And according to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, that is what it says, that Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem, Hashem became angry at me because of you. It means the same way as the Marsho explained, that you've asked him for your good, meaning for your benefit, meaning that since you haven't rectified everything that needed to be rectified before the time of Mashiach, therefore Hashem told me that I can come into Eretz Yisrael to give you a chance that you should be able to rectify what you need to rectify. And Hashem Yisburach should help that you should rectify everything that we need, and if we do that, then we merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash should build, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.